And God was moving on people regarding Rome. Well, here's how it happened. I was sleeping soundly, and the Lord told me to get out of bed and get on my knees. I was in my pajamas, got out of bed and got on my knees. The instant my knees touched that floor beside my bed, I was walking the street of Rome. And I was walking with six other men that I had been all over the world already with, so I knew every one of them, in spiritual strikes, what we call spiritual strike force. And so I knew my team was with me, and I greeted them, and they greeted me. We could talk to one another. And we're walking down the streets of Rome, and we come to an iron door in the sidewalk, like they used to have back in the 1960s, 50s and 60s. You older ones will know this. Some cities might still have them, but they don't use them anymore. They'd open those iron doors and lean them back, and a chain would keep the doors from falling completely flat in the opposite direction. And they'd bring an elevator up and load the merchandise for in the basement of the stores. It was that kind of iron doors. And we come to this iron doors, and I turn to my six men. I'm in the lead, and with our team, whoever had the leading of the Holy Spirit would be in the lead, and the other six would stay behind and back up in prayer and agree to whatever we declared or petitioned before the Lord. And so that was our procedure. We already were seasoned in that discipline. And so I reach down and pull up this iron door and lean it back, and I said to the six men, this is where we go down. I step over the chain, and I step into these steps, and instead of an elevator going into the basement, it's ancient stone steps in a leftward lateral direction spiraling down under the streets of Rome. And you had to watch your step because the steps were so worn from travel through the centuries. And we're going down, and I'm leading, and they're behind me, and they're praying. And I literally feel like I've got a funnel in my head, and their prayers are pouring in spiritual power. I have to say, I have never experienced the sensation of so much spiritual power flowing into me in all my life as I did in that experience. I go down, and I come way down underneath to a level spot, and there's an arch there, and I can see it opens into a giant catacomb. And as I take a step to go into this catacomb, my foot steps the first step into the catacomb under this arch, to the entrance. I look to the left, and here is a giant black angel, wings and resting his hands on his chin and his elbows on his knees. His wings are laying out there. I would say his wings look 30 feet long. And he's sitting there. His eyes are open. And the instant my feet step into that catacomb, he jumps up in the deepest bass voice and says, "You shouldn't be here." And when he said that, I heard it to the right, and I look, and there's another one to the right, and they're towering way over me with these glowing goldish yellow eyes. "You shouldn't be here." Fiery eyes, black bodies, blackish gray. And I point at the one on the left first, and I say, these words come out of me, this power is saturated on me. I point at him, and I say, "We are here by the divine commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the estate that you have bound of the apostolic anointing since the days of the Apostle Paul, that you have bound here since the days of the Apostle Paul, are now loosed to the body of Christ worldwide for the preparation of the church becoming glorious." And I point at that one and say it, and the one on the right and say it. And they both said, as their wings come up, they said, "Then we'll be going." And they're moving their wings up to fly. And I point at the one with my right hand and the other with my left hand in both directions. And I say, "And you will not. But because, according to the word of God, you did not keep your first estate, you are to be bound with chains until the great day of the Lord. And these massive links of chains come spiraling down over both of them, slapping their wings down and their hands down at their side, wrapping them from their ankles all the way up around their wings and their hands, clear up underneath their chins so they can only look up. They're bound by these chains. All they can do is look up. And instantly, I was back in my bedroom on the floor, on my knees. I instantly smell my sleeve of my flannel pajamas, smelling to see if there was smell of diesel fumes, because those big cities, your clothing smells like diesel fumes. It didn't. I got up, I got dressed, and I went downstairs. My wife come down at about 7 in the morning, and I was praying and reading the Word and saying, "Lord, what did that mean?" And she says, "You sure got up in a hurry and got dressed and went down. Are you all right?" And I says, "Yeah, I'm fine." She says, "What is it? Can you tell me?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't understand it." So I told her, and she said, "Do you think you were translated?" I said, "It's like I was. I don't know." So that morning, about 10:30, we get a call from a couple that's in Portland. We lived in Portland at that time, Oregon. We're in Iowa now. We lived there, and this couple we had ministered with and had wonderful fellowship, they had moved to Seattle. And we get a call from him about 10:30 that morning, and he says, "Look, we're in Portland visiting family, but we'd love to see you again. We're going to have dinner with the family, but could we see you for maybe an hour, 2 hours after dinner, maybe after 7 tonight?" And I said, "Why, sure. We haven't got anything scheduled. Come ahead." So they come. And they're sitting there on the couch, and I'm sharing. We're just sharing about the Lord, and then my wife says, "Honey, share with them what experience you had at this morning." And I look at her like, "Oh, why do I want to share that? You know, I don't want to go talking this everywhere." Well, the man says, "Well, did you have a wonderful experience in the Lord? What happened?" And I says, "Well, I don't understand it." So I'm telling him and his wife this experience. And my phone rings at my left hand. I reach over and say, "Excuse me," and I pick it up and say, "Yes." And this brother from up in Fairbanks, Alaska, "Henry, Ron McKnight." "Yes, what is it?" "He's one of the 7 of us of our team." He says, "Bangkok, Thailand, Vienna, Austria, Rome, Italy. Has God spoken anything to you in the last 24 hours?" I said, "Well, not about Bangkok, but Vienna, the gates of Vienna, he's been talking to me, but not in the last 24 hours. But Rome, yes." He said, "Are you at liberty to tell me?" I said, "I think so. I don't understand it." He says, "Well, tell me." So I explained this to him, and he says, "I'll get right back to you." Boop, he's gone. This dear pastor and his wife sitting there on the couch in my living room, eyes big, and the brother says, "That happened to you this morning?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Do you think you were translated?" I said, "I don't know. It was so real, like we were. The other 6 men I work with were all there. I've traveled with them all in different points of the world, all across different parts of the world, Asia and Middle East and Europe and across America and parts of Canada." And he's, "Wow. Boy, that's something." So we begin talking, just sharing again and fellowshipping. The phone rings again. It's Ron McKnight again. Now, I use his name because he's with the Lord now. The Lord's taken him home since. But, and I've lived up in Iowa now for, since 1990, February of 90. So it's Ron McKnight again. And he says, "Henry, I just talked to Bob in Bangkok. I talked to Fred in Vienna." And then he names the others. "Jamie in Sacramento. Dave over here in North Pole." And he names the other members of the team. And he says, "Henry, you said it was 4:30 your time in the morning when God told you to get on your knees, and the moment your knees touched the floor, you were in Rome, right?" I said, "Exactly. I looked at the red LED clock. It was 4:30. He said, Henry, I just finished talking to the last two members of the team. We, all six of us, according to your 4:30 in the morning, Tom, Bob, Vienna, Bangkok, Anchorage, Alaska, Sacramento, California, we all, our times match perfectly to 4:30 in the morning, Portland time. We were behind you walking the streets of Rome. We were with you going down that leftward spiraling staircase. We heard you and saw you pointing, speaking to those angels that did not keep their first estate. And then as soon as you finished, all of us were back at our homes, at our business, and our different places. Do you think we were translated? Do you think we did a strike by being translated? I said, wow.
Wow, yes, wow.
Why not think so? I mean, that was 1988. From 1988, if you will look at the church, some of you that have been very active in churches where now there is apostles coming up and all this, from 1988, all of a sudden, people start claiming to be apostles, and we got more apostles running around the country now that say they're apostles. There are those that say they are, and I don't think they are. But the fivefold ministry has begun coming alive again to the church. And what did he say to me in 1988? What did he say through me to those fallen angels? Because the fivefold ministry, the apostolic anointing, is being restored back to the church to prepare for the coming of the Lord, to prepare the bride, his church, to be glorious.